You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies, where we take a good look at everything guitar, and sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important, so we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a very interesting show for you tonight. A while back, I had Tony Pulizzi on the show, who's back again, and it's great to have you back.
How you doing?
And he had told me about this company, Voyage Air Guitar, and he said, you got to have them on the show. They're really interesting. And so he explained to me a little bit about them, and I saw them at NAMM. I didn't get to talk to them at NAMM because it was just so huge, and I was being called to different meetings and stuff. But I did get to see a little bit about it. And basically, they have this guitar that they can fold the neck, and actually you can fold it and carry it with you. And they have a little backpack, and we're going to take a look at that in a minute. But I was kind of like, well, that's interesting, but how does it sound? And also, too, I think we're going to get some of these questions answered, too. But like one of my concerns was, how do the strings hold up being detuned and brought back? Mm-hmm. And so we finally got him on the show, and they're here tonight. And I want to welcome you guys. I'm going to introduce everybody. First, the CEO of the company, Jeff Cohen. Jeff, it's great to have you on the show.
Hi, Jeff. We're thrilled to be here.
It's a pleasure. This is great. I'm just blown away by what you guys have made here. And then also, who I've been talking to most of the time, Barney Leeson, who is the customer. He's the guy that takes care of all the customers. I know officially what your title is, but customer service or?
Sounds good.
I mean, he's just the guy. He just makes everything happen. And I want to shout out also to their Jamie Cohen, who was who helped us with the social media and got me the information and all the materials and stuff, and great bunch of guys. So anyway, they're here. I'm just going to mention real quick www.voyageairguitar.com. And what we're going to do, usually I go into the background, but we're going to wait and do that later in the show because Barney literally has to catch a plane.
I'm jumping out the window.
He's going to be jumping out the window. So let's just start a little bit about the guitar, and then I'll start asking you some questions about stuff. But explain a little bit what this guitar is about.
Well, Voyage Air Guitar is a company that we want to offer a person a no-compromise guitar. We realized that just about every other company does have a travel guitar, but there's major compromises in the sound, the quality, the playability, the size of the instrument, and they're not really gig ready. And we wanted to offer a person an alternative, a traditional guitar, full size, normal guitar, no compromise, quality instrument that you can take with you. And that's really what our goal was.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, most people would look at the fact that you're folding the neck. Actually, you might as well show them right now that we're talking so they can see on camera. He basically...
That way, okay.
Yeah. You might want to move closer to Tony, though, so they can see. So he's unscrewing the strap holder.
Button. Unscrew it, it's quarter inch or so, and the neck just folds. The strings go into the sound hole, and it goes into the case right there, which you're going to see in a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that.
Over the case in a little bit later.
So it basically flips, it folds up, and now that guitar, when it's folded, the case, that will fit in the overhead of a plane?
Yeah. Any standard jet. We have videos. People talk about it all the time.
Okay. So that's because that's important. I mean, a lot of guys carry their guitars, and you have to sometimes you have to pay like half price for an extra seat for the guitar. I'm sure Tony's had to do that a couple of times. You can put this in the overhead.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, many more uses for it too. Some people don't want to compromise, but if you're going on a rafting trip, you'd probably don't want to take your old mm-hmm. valuable favorite guitar that you have at home.
Mm-hmm.
But something like this you can take with you.
Yeah. But so then, he has a dreadnought that he's using there, and that's
you
a
see how it goes back together.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's the extent of it. You don't have to detune it. You don't have to really do anything when it comes back in.
You'll have to, yeah, you
it's
might have to tweak
close.
It. It's not too bad. I mean, like any guitar where you, well, you're losing tension, so you gotta tune it up. And that's a dreadnought, and then Tony's holding a OM model, orchestra model. So, Tony, real quick, play a little bit on the guitar, and I want people to hear a little. I'm going to mute our mics, so you just hear these Audio Technicas, because this guitar has it's a really nice-sounding guitar.
Played the guitar before either, right? It's that self-playing guitar.
It plays by itself, like butter.
Now, let me ask you, Tony,
yeah.
Because we were talking about some of the things that people ask about this guitar. How's the action on that?
The action is great when we have the whole guitar assembled the way it should. There's no loose action. There's no nothing. I think there's a mechanism that you can adjust the action in it, though, too.
Yes.
There's a truss rod in it.
Right.
But any standard acoustic, it's by the neck relief, saddle height, everything.
Right.
You could have high action, you could have low action.
Right.
However you want on a Voyager guitar.
But, I mean, it's fine. I wouldn't even notice that it would fold in half or anything idea that would disassemble it in any way.
And it's interesting to note because, again, and we'll talk a little bit more about the construction of it, but, you know, it flips at the heel, and the heel is not obtrusive. It's about the same size as a standard acoustic dreadnought heel. And I noticed that you have a zero fret, and then you have a special nut there that kind of covers... It caps it? Does that cap the nut? Is that capping the strings?
That is called the capture nut, and that just keeps them from flying out when you fold the guitar.
Right.
Keeps them on the
And
the
that pops sheets. Open, so it's easy to change strings?
It's just got holes in it. Slide it through. Rather than over, it goes through.
Oh, okay. So it just has holes.
Yeah. And the nut in our guitar doesn't affect the tone. It's got a zero fret.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't matter.
Okay. Now... My question to you is structurally, I've seen guitars like older Gibsons and even some older Martins, the tension on, you know, from the strings and stuff. One of the weak points that I've seen where I've seen cracks and stuff was at the heel, besides up by the neck, you know, near the nut, especially the thin guitars, they would crack a lot. But how, when you guys were developing the guitar, was that a problem? Because I might be wrong. It seems that the heel is a stress point where the tension of the strings, or is it?
The heel, we spent a lot of time doing a lot of research, building a lot of guitars. And yes, we realize that there are stress points on the guitar. Generally, the two most common are the headstock and, as you mentioned, the heel. We had our guitar designed by a very well-known luthier named Harvey Leach. It's going to work, and they do not have any problems with the heels or the headstock.
Mm-hmm. So there is stress there at the heel.
Well, when the guitar is folded, remember there is no stress.
Right. But I mean when it's being played. But the way it's bolted in, the way you have it locked in, that is there's no chance of that being an issue.
When the guitar is in contact like this, it's just like any standard guitar. Yeah. Our goal
The stress on the heel really is when you actually put it into the play position, you pop it into place. Once that's done, then there's no incremental stress to it. The way the hinge is designed, the way we have the locking nut mechanism, it stays in place. It's essentially a bolt-on neck guitar,
mm-hmm.
but we allow you to unbolt it and rebolt it at will.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And as far as string length, you were asking about that too. One thing to realize is that if you look at a person who's played a Strat or any Floyd Rose, when you're taking it down, the strings flop off, there's no tension, you pull up, they come back in, that doesn't, never heard anybody said that affects string life. It's the same thing, except instead of releasing tension there, it's releasing tension there.
Mm.
So string life isn't affected in any way, and it works just like any other guitar.
Yeah. Now, the steel string acoustics, I've noticed, once the strings break in, they break in faster.
Yeah.
But like with a classical guitar, that's more of a problem because they're always, those nylon strings are constantly stretching, and that's an issue. Have you guys made a classical?
We've had a couple custom made through our, we mm-hmm. do have a custom shop that can hand build any Voyager guitar up in Northern California, and we have built a couple for custom, but not many.
Well, we did experiment with building a standard nylon string guitar, just like the steel string, and we just weren't satisfied with the quality that we can get it to achieve. The steel string is dialed in. We're very confident you could play it, you could fold it, you could open it up again. It stays very close to being in tune. It's very reliable. It's very robust. We've not yet been able to get the classical to achieve that level of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps eventually we will, but until we do, we don't intend to launch one.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's the problem's not going to be the guitar, it's going to be the strings.
Yes.
That's something you have no control over.
And also one thing, too, about it is that the tension kicks in sooner on a nylon string when you're mm-hmm. folding it, and it's actually a little bit more difficult to actually close.
Yeah, and also you have to, usually classicals have the nut's higher, too, yep. so it's a higher action, which is its own set of problems.
Yep.
Do me a favor and switch guitars. So I want Tony to play the Dreadnought a little bit so you can hear the difference. That OM is nice. It's real well balanced.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's really well balanced.
Here's the Dreadnought.
And go ahead and flip the... because I was sharing the Facebook Live. We're on Facebook Live, so I wasn't able to take a picture of you
Hello,
doing
Facebook
that.
Hello, Facebook Live.
So I'm going to take a picture of you dismantle.
Want me to fold it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's cool. It's amazing.
I'm still amazed.
Now, as
after
far
as all these years, man, you guys are doing this.
As far as the guitar's construction, they're standard construction. Nothing unusual. We have scalloped X bracing on the guitars. Depending on the model, it either has Fender scale or Gibson scale, depending on the model. There's nothing that's different about other than a standard guitar.
Now, these guitars are the midline runs, right?
Correct.
You make actually more expensive ones. Mm-hmm. These guitars, these are X-braced spruce tops.
Yes.
And then these are laminate mahogany, right? If I'm correct?
Laminate mahogany backsides.
Backs and sides, and mahogany neck and rosewood fingerboard.
Correct.
Okay. And then, and I noticed, flip the guitar around. Notice that they're using sealed, those Schallers?
Godos.
Those are Godos, but sealed. Those are quality. Everything's quality. I'm really impressed with that. And now, custom, you have the solid woods, but what else can you do custom? What options do you have?
Well,
besides inlay, of course, because you have one of the best inlay
and quality of the guitar, but I do know of one Voyager guitar it's been valued around $100,000 because of the inlay work and the custom. And it folds in half.
It does.
Yeah. It's, wow. It's not your traditional travel guitar,
mm-hmm.
but it does exist. And it was more made to show the point that even for a beautiful hand-built boutique guitar, that the concept works, that you mm-hmm. can still fold it and take mm-hmm. it with you.
And then these guitars are acoustic, but you can add pickups to them, right? And
absolutely.
You use LR bags, right?
LR bags, K&K.
K&K. That's great. I mean, it's a perfect gigging guitar. It's really... Let's take a listen to this Dreadnought now.
worthy of an American Idol.
Now, playing the two guitars, how are the is there any difference in the necks, or are they pretty similar?
They are very similar. I think what's different is just the sound because of the shape of the
body.
Different bodies. Yes.
So that's another point that I want to point out, is that are consistent. The guitars are consistently made. They're not that, there's not that many differences in, you know. So if you like one and you go to the store and buy one, they're going to be the same.
Very much. Go ahead. We have nothing leaves our warehouse without our tech. We have a full-time luthier, and nothing leaves it without him inspecting it, QCing it, making sure it runs. That's one of the reasons, and I know Jeff is going to talk about it a little bit later, of why we enjoy selling our guitars directly, because we can better support them.
Right. Oh, okay. So it's you. There's there. You just go directly to the website, www.voyageairguitar.com,
yep.
And you can order them. And they're reasonable. What's the price range from the bottom end to the top end?
Well, they're on sale for this show. The normal price for our least expensive guitar, which is all laminate, top, back, sides, they're normally $459. For the show, they're on sale for $399 if they use coupon V60, which saves $60 on any guitar.
So V60, if you put that in at checkout, you get a discount.
You get a $60 discount.
And then these guitars, how much are these guitars?
These are normally $589. They're with the $529 with the coupon.
And that's a good price for a Dreadnought or an OM. These guitars, with the sound, I mean, they're recordable. They're definitely recordable.
They're recordable, guitar. And it's going to make great working guitar. And I'm really critical when it comes to this.
And yes.
This sounds great.
And one other thing, too, is because of the zero fret, it will these intonate better than most of the guitars in the price range than a standard guitar, a standard nut.
So why is that because the zero fret I'm curious why
with the zero fret it's just a more accurate placing of where you could do with the nut. You're kind of like covering a whole large area.
Oh, okay. Because I've seen some guitars, like my Gretsch has a zero fret. But
expensive Martins have zero frets.
Really?
Yeah, really expensive ones.
That's interesting. So let me ask you, too, now about in the development of this guitar. What did you guys learn? I mean, you had to go through it. It must have been an incredible journey just developing these, you know, because you were basically trying stuff and trying new things. I'm just curious, when you were developing, what was the biggest thing that you learned that surprised you? In other words, like you didn't think that would have been an issue.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the biggest surprises we had was that we didn't know that you could fold the guitar while it was at full tension. In other words, that you could pop it back in place without loosening the strings or detuning it. We were meeting with Tom Bresch in Nashville. And Tom had at one point actually Merle Travis's son. He was playing the guitar, and he actually put his hand down the fretboard, loosened the bolt, and folded the guitar. And we were like, "Don't do that! You can't do that!" But he did, and you know what? It worked. I mean, it was fine. The hinge was robust enough, and then he opened it up again and popped it back in place and started playing it. And we were like, yeah, we designed it to do that.
We meant that to happen.
We meant that.
Well, but did you expect that hinge would be that would weaken the hinge or break the hinge?
Well, our concern was guitars are under a lot of tension. I mean, a lot of tension these necks, and we didn't really expect that you would be able to do that reliably without any harm whatsoever. Now, I will tell you that the hinge that was in the original guitar that Tom had used has since been modified quite a bit. I was telling you earlier that we now have a hinge that's made out of a ballistic plastic nylon housing and brass hinge arms and steel pins. So when the brass pins move back and forth on the nylon housing, it's a smooth move and there's no splintering. There's no shards of metal that get stuck in there to seize it up. And now you could open it and close it any number of times. We've never had a hinge fail. And you could clearly fold it while it's at full tension without any problem whatsoever.
So with the brass, is it soft? Is it soft enough where it doesn't rub too much, or
right? So
do you lubricate it? Is there any way? Do you put
That's the beauty of this. Originally, we had that housing that the eight brass arms fit into was originally stainless steel. And then you would take these steel arms, originally steel arms, and the stainless steel, and they would rub and they would splinter.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a little while, you get little shards of steel stuck in the hinge, and the thing would just suddenly seize up. Mm-hmm. And then you'd crack the neck trying to close it.
Yeah.
So by switching to brass.
Barney, safe trip. He has to catch a plane.
See you, Barney. Jeff has some wonderful stories. Shark Tank. Yeah.
So when
thank you, Brian. I'll see you.
So when you have the brass arms and the ballistic plastic housing, mm-hmm. it's self-lubricating. The plastic is a nice smooth surface, and the hinge opens and closes, and it simply doesn't seize up. It doesn't fail, and it's incredibly robust. I mean, I challenge you to open and close this guitar a million times, and that is that.
Hinge so virtually, that fail. Hinge will last the life of the guitar.
The hinge will last a lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I should last as long as
because that would be the only thing I would think that would have any friction or anything would be the collapsing and moving. There's parts moving, but that now that it's self lubricating, that's great.
Yeah, it's not going that is not going to fail. I mean, wood is wood. Wood cracks, right? There's nothing we could do about the wood. Like any guitar, wood can potentially crack, but mm-hmm. that hinge, I think, is going to survive the next millennium.
It's pretty solid. I was playing around with it before the show, and Tony can attest to it. When it's locked in, it's it's pretty stable.
I can forget about it, even if it's doing that. Yeah, it's reliable. I wouldn't even know it's, you know, we're talking about this, a guitar that folds in half. It's amazing.
Well, yeah. I'm originally from Philadelphia, and if a guy named Tony says you can forget about it.
Forget about it.
You can forget about it.
Philadelphia. Do me a favor and just hit up on the upper fingerboard, just to kind of go up there a little bit. And what I want to do is show the intonation, that there's no dead spots. So just it doesn't have to be chords. It can be single notes. But I want them to hear a little bit. So you can hear it's pretty balanced. And then the middle strings are very clear. Everything's clear and balanced. It's not bottom heavy, and that's a dreadnought. And then if play a couple of single line things to show how it sustains, because it's a pretty live guitar. So it's a pretty balanced guitar, and you can hear it. Now he's using the dreadnought, but both that, the OM and that, they're really... Everything rings true, and it's a good sounding guitar. I'm impressed with the timbre of it, the overtones, especially with these strings. It's really nice. Which strings are you using on this?
These are the D'Addario 12 through 53.
And these are new. I think you just put these.
Might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're. You can hear the overtones on the strings. Yeah. I mean, the guitar brings that out. So it's got a really nice.
Yeah. You know, this was the biggest challenge with making this guitar. One of the big design issues we had was, how do we make a guitar that folds in half, fits in the backpack, but still looks as good and as sexy as a regular guitar, and sounds as great as regular guitar? And those design challenges were in conflict with one another. And a lot of people had come up with ways to make small guitars, travel guitars, folding guitars, where the head comes off and the body separates and the strings come off. And we didn't want to do that. And we didn't want to make a guitar that looked like a science project. I mean, there's a reason that in 1833, Chris Martin came to this country with a guitar that looked like that, and it hasn't changed since then, for the most part, right? I mean, it just looks cool. Everybody likes that. And we all enjoy the sound of that. So we needed to make it look exactly like a great guitar and sound like a great guitar, which means we had to come up with some newfangled way to build the hinge into the heel and hide it under the strap button and go with the zero fret. And, you know, we didn't really have to have the truss rod be at the top because, you know, when you fold the guitar, you could make your adjustment backwards, right? From the bottom.
But isn't that solid in there? You can't access the net.
Well, no, but that would have been the easy design option. We originally had the truss rod access through the bottom, but we thought, well, let's make everything
like a regular guitar. No, I think it's smarter there because when you're playing and you're adjusting it, that's the way you want. It's easier to do it than trying
to stick
that.
Well, it's what you're used to, and we wanted it to be something that you're used to, except give you the ability to fold it and take it with you. So the idea is that you sacrifice nothing, but you pick up the opportunity to throw it on your shoulder and take it with you.
You would think that the guitar would feel different or the neck would be thicker to be reinforced, and it isn't. It's just as thin and playable as any Martin.
I'm not sacrificing anything. And I take it on the plane. I don't have to pay extra cartage, extra freight, nothing. I take it right with me.
And that, and again, the way you make the guitar, the bracing, you can tell it's a good design because it sounds right as a dreadnought. The guitar has the sound. You're using the same materials, but that X bracing, I think, is a real plus. Right.
That was another design issue that we had when we started the company. We could have built really cheap guitars that folded in half, but we realized early on that people were going to be suspect about a guitar that folds in the first place. And if we build a lousy sounding guitar, I mean, it would have been over 9 years ago. Right? I mean, it would have been a science project that nobody believed in. But by building a high quality guitar that does this, you know, we hoped we built something that guitar players would appreciate and traveling musicians would appreciate, and we'd find an audience.
Yeah, it's not a student guitar. It's a professional instrument. It's recordable, but it's something you can take on the road, and it's durable. It'll take a beating. It's not a delicate thing. With that mechanism, it's not delicate at all. When he bolts that in, it's probably stronger than my acoustic guitars.
I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh, I gotta be careful. And then here comes Barney. He's like, you know, like, man, I mean.
And that neck is not coming off.
It's not coming off.
You can even do the, you know, Billy Sheehan tricks with the headstock and the vibrato by bending the neck. But I mean, it's sturdy, but it's really playable. And it's, this is something you definitely have to check out. Now, you make an electric guitar too.
Right.
What were the differences or. Was there other things that you had to adjust for that?
Right. So with the electric, we didn't have the heel to sort of hide the entire bolt mechanism. So I wish we had one with us, but we had to create a latch. So there's the same hinge is built into the electric, but we added a stainless steel latch on it. Which I think I'm really proud of. It's like a Swiss Army watch. I mean, it's such a slick mechanism. Well, here we go.
Just show it to the camera there.
Yeah, is it the brown one or the white one?
The little brown one. There you go.
Yeah. So this is the hinge that hidden under the latch. So it really is a beautiful mechanism, and it allows us to avoid the depth of the heel. Other than that, it's really identical in the way it's designed. And then we have the Strat and a Tele that's designed to be like a Strat and a Tele.
Now, so the neck actually, like this one, like most electric guitar bolt-ons, like a Fender or something like that, the neck goes over a part of the body. But this guitar, the neck is at the edge, like this neck where the heel is at the edge of the guitar.
Right.
And then... It bolts in and locks in there, and then the rest of the mechanism is bolted onto the actual body.
Right. We wanted to avoid having too much of a bump that your heel of your hand is going to hit. So we want it to be as low profile as possible. That's why we need to make some design modifications, and I think we succeeded in making it very low profile.
But the fact that you have a smaller heel, did that weaken... like this is pretty stable when you lock that in, but you have that extra wood of the heel
right
going down. Now, with the electric guitar, was that a problem? Did you lose strength?
Well, that's why we added the stainless steel latch mechanism.
Okay, so the latch gives you that strength.
It gives you the strength. Yeah, when that thing's bolted down with the hinge and the latch, it's not going anywhere.
And the other good thing about that, when they bolt it down, the way they bolt it down, because one of the biggest problems we've had with Strats and any Fender guitar is the neck moves. Even with the four screws, they neck. And a lot of new guitar luthiers, they have their own patented way of locking it so it doesn't move. But with this system, it's not going to sway.
No.
Right?
No. It doesn't move at all. It doesn't move at all. No. Yeah. I mean, and it's designed so that nothing moves once it's locked with the electric or the acoustic, because we want complete wood-to-wood connection from the neck to the body through the heel so that the sound flows all the way through. You don't lose any sound. And if there's any air gaps in there or any vibration, you're not going to get the sound that you want.
Mm-hmm. And you have the neck, the fretboard extends onto the solid body, too. It's hard to see. There's not a picture of the guitar.
Oh, in the electric?
On the electric. So you have more fingerboard, like on the dreadnought there?
Right.
That's on the guitar body?
Right. Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we should have thought to bring. Well, you have to have us back for an electric job.
You know that's going to happen. We're going to have to. We got some other things we got to try. I want to try one of the guitars at one point with the pickup so they can hear, because the performing musician's going to want to know. But I mean, they're using pretty reputable. I mean, LR Bags. I have that on my Martin. That's a great.
Yeah,
it's
we
a
can
great
put
pickup.
An M80 right in here and install it, no problem, you know.
Yeah, no, well, everything else is the same except for the hinge neck. It's just a standard guitar, and I mean it works really well. Now I want to mention also too, happy anniversary. It's 10 years, right? You guys have been in business for 10 years.
Yeah It's actually hard to believe that it's just 10 short years ago that my friend and partner Harvey Leach talked me into starting a guitar company with him. But he had the crazy idea of building a guitar that folds in half, and I had been and continued to be a guitar collector.
Mm-hmm.
And Harvey showed me a prototype of a guitar that folded in half, and then as the story goes, the folks at Martin Guitar, Chris Martin, had found out that I was a collector of many Martin guitars, and invited me and Harvey and some of my friends out to Nazareth for a weekend to hang out and look at what they were doing. And it was that weekend where Harvey and I decided to actually form Voyage Air Guitar and build a high-quality, consumer-grade Voyage Air Guitar. Mm-hmm. Harvey was building them one at a time, you know, for $10,000, but that's not really a mass-market product.
Right. Well, no, now you're at a price point that's... I mean, under $1,000 for a fully recorded with electric pickup for touring, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I honestly, back in the day when we started the company, I wasn't convinced we'd ever get to this price point. I really was not, because it looks like a regular guitar, but there's a lot of stuff going on there to get it to look like a regular guitar.
Now, you build the guitars in Modesto?
Well, we're very much like Apple. You know, designed in Cupertino, assembled in China.
Okay.
So we've designed everything in Modesto. Our warehousing is in Livermore. We originally built all the guitars in Grass Valley, actually. And it was very, very expensive doing everything in Grass Valley. And we weren't going to get anywhere near a $1,000 price point. We couldn't even get near a $2,000 price point building everything by hand in Grass Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to import bodies from Grand Rewards, which I think most people would agree is the highest quality acoustic guitar manufacturer in Asia. And we would make the necks in Grass Valley. And then we mated the Grass Valley necks to the Grand Rewards bodies. Just never worked. You know, you got the woods that were grown in different climates, and it just didn't work. So now we have three different factories where one manufactures the bag, one manufactures the hinge, one manufactures the guitar. The hinges are shipped to the guitar plant. They're all built over there. They get shipped into the port of Oakland, California.
Mm-hmm.
and they get trucked up to Modesto, and our luthiers go through each guitar individually, set them up, check them out, make sure that there's no issues, no mm-hmm. concerns, and then
is the neck made at a separate plant, or is it made at the same one as the body?
Same as the body. We found it was a problem when we started to separate the components.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes total sense. Now, you mentioned the bag. We have to talk about this bag because it's really, really cool. And Tony, grab one of the guitars, whichever one you prefer, and collapse it.
Okay.
And we'll put it in the bag and show people what's going on. And then actually sit that against that chair, Tony. Put the dreadnought on the chair and turn it around so people can see the guitar. And then I guess we'll collapse the OM. I think everybody can see it. Now, tell us a little bit about this bag. This is kind of cool.
Okay, so we designed this bag so that it really is a backpack, right? So I don't know if you can see if I stand up here. So just put it on your back, you know, ride your motorcycle, do what you want to do. It's easy. Mm-hmm. You don't even know you're wearing it. And also, before Tony gives me the guitar, assuming you have a computer,
mm-hmm.
you know, we designed a little section here where you're going to put your laptop, right? So, and it's padded, so it's comfortable.
I can also put my clothes in there. If I only just want to take
that's what Barney was saying. You can just do an overnight. You can do an overnight.
Actually, we found
I'm talking about the guitar and the clothes.
Well, you know, we found that some people, they actually put their underwear and socks and things that aren't sharp mm-hmm. inside the guitar.
Yeah, I guess you can do that.
So let me have this. So right, so it's folded. We stuck the strings in a sound hole.
Okay.
And now
he's got like a little brace. I'm going to try to take a picture of this while he's doing this.
So you can get the hinge too.
And it actually
there's the hinge, right?
Okay.
Well, let me just point this out, if I can, at this point. See, the black portion is this ballistic nylon, so it's a self-lubricating type of plastic. It's mm-hmm. very hard, but it's self-lubricating. And these are 8 brass hinge arms with steel pins. And it's a nice, smooth mechanism, no splinters, no shards of steel. Mm-hmm. And then we have 2 centering pins. So you have the 8 brass hinge arms and then the 2 centering pins, and it locks in place. It's not going anywhere.
Okay.
So let's just pop it in the case.
So he pops it, and then he has a thing to separate, to put the, right. See how the neck, let me get a picture.
Right, because what you really don't want is for the neck to be scratching up the top of your guitar, right? And then you simply flip the top over. And
there you go.
And it has a handle, so you can carry it like a briefcase or a pack.
Handle.
And it's and you have these special made. These are
you make
your own. And again, that will fit in an overhead plane compartment, so that can be your carry on with your laptop or something like that.
I'll tell you one secret that a small company like ours problem that we have is that we make our cases. We have designed them with and make them at the same factory where Apple makes most of their Apple cases for iPads, iPhones, and things like that. So when Apple produces a new product, they'll place an order for 100 million cases. We'll order like 1,000 cases. So
that's still a lot. I mean, that's more than I would.
So we have to struggle to keep our place in line, but it works out pretty well. And we're actually quite pleased.
Looking at the case earlier before the show. It's pretty heavy duty. And then see on the side, there's a little pocket for like a drink.
Yeah, water bottle, or you put, you know, capo and
it's whatever. You know, it's water resistant. It's pretty heavy duty. It's a really nice case.
I mean, it's what you want to be carrying your guitar around with you. I mean, it protects it, and you're very comfortable dragging this thing around.
And that same case works both for the OM, or is there a separate one for the dreadnought? Are they the same size?
We have one that's slightly thicker for the dreadnought. Yeah. And then we have another version that is actually a little bit harder of a top. And then it has a section on the back for your laptop. But that entire laptop section unzips to make the bag even thinner if you're on a smaller plane. then he could just take the section that holds the guitar and leave the laptop section behind.
And just put it under your chair.
Put it under your seat. Right, right. Exactly. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, we actually had a lot of fun designing these products.
Now, well, that bag, I mean, I've always, I'm an old dinosaur. I have Anvil road cases and I have hard shell cases for my guitars. Tony, you probably use more soft shell cases if you do, if anybody.
It's taken me a while to just be comfortable with maybe the idea of bringing a soft shell in recent years. But I mean, if I was on the gig, maybe the company would ship them and they would have them in the the hard cases. But lately, I've been taking the gig bags. So this is the just, gig I'm bag. Not, this is not in, you know.
Well, the biggest thing with the gig bag is is the neck. You know, like a friend of mine, she carries a bass in a gig bag on the plane. And that neck, you know, that's a long piece. If somebody bangs that, you know, it can break. With this collapse, it's a little more sturdy. But the now, do you just make the case, that carry case, or is there a hard case?
No, there is a hard shell case, like I said, where the back laptop section actually separates.
Oh, okay.
Right? So it's a little firmer, and we actually provide that hard shell case with the higher end guitars. This is our mid-grade, mid-range. We have guitars at around $1,700-$1,800, and then we include the harder shell case. Or we sell the harder shell case as an option.
But that has wood in it, right? I mean, the
no, it doesn't have wood. It doesn't have, but it's a fabric that's formed, so it's actually quite solid. This is,
you mean like an Ovation type case?
Yes, like an Ovation type case.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So it's like that. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
those are pretty sturdy.
Those are all made at the same factory. And the acoustics, these are actually made at the same factory. If you remember, we did a deal with Fender Guitar on season 4 of Shark Tank, and we make the guitars in the same factory as Fender.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, really. We're almost out of time. I want to get into that, because Barney said you got to talk about Shark Tank and Fender.
Yes, you do.
So how did you, what was your relationship with Fender, and what was your relationship with Shark Tank? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when I first went on Shark Tank, I was on season 1, episode 3, and the show was not on the air yet.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, what happened was the producers for Shark Tank, they went into McCabe's, which is a fabulous old guitar shop down in Santa Monica. And McCabe's was one of my first dealers. So they went into McCabe's and they saw the guitar and they loved it. And so they found out, you know, who's behind this company. So they called the office and the guys got all excited. These Mark Burnett people are starting a new reality show and they want you to be on their show. They want to talk to you. So I get on the phone with the producers. And they tell me the whole story. It's this new show, and you're going to make this pitch to these investors, and you're going to raise money, and it's going to be great. And my response was, well, that sounds like a pretty stupid idea. sounds like your show's for, like, the bus driver that invented a new corkscrew. I mean, you know, I've started companies and run companies and sold companies, and I'm taking Voyager Guitar very seriously. This is a real company. And I'm like, I don't want to be on your show. And they come back and say, no, no, you're exactly what we want for the show. And they were great guys. We hit it off. They were just putting the show together. I went down there, was on season 1, episode 3. That's where Kevin made the first time he ever said, you're dead to me. He said it to me. and I said, I don't accept this deal. And he says, you're a bum, you're a disgrace. My son, Josh, you know, great kid. And Kevin's hollering at Josh. But Josh did good. He stood his own. And then Josh and I came back to season 2 to see, you know, what have you been doing since you turned down the $1 million offer in season 1.
So you were contestants in Shark Tank.
We were contestants. Oh, okay. We were offered a bunch of money on season 1, and I turned it down. And Kevin's like, well, you need me in your deal. I sold my company for $3.2 billion. And I had said to him, is that billion with a B And fortunately for us, I said that because that became a promotable moment. So they kept showing commercials with that. So people got to learn a little bit about Voyager guitar.
Did the guitar, did you feature the guitar on the show at any point?
Yeah, we had, I think, 10 guitars on the set with us. And I didn't know this until we're actually there taping that Kevin O'Leary was a very good guitar player. And I probably shouldn't, you know, out him, but he's actually a really nice guy, too. But his job is to behave the way he does, right?
That's part of the show.
So you know, he's sort of interrupts Josh. Let me see that guitar. I want to play that guitar. So, you know, Josh gives him the guitar, and he actually starts playing. And he wanted to do the deal, but I didn't like the terms. So we went back to season 2 for us to show how well we were doing selling guitars. Then season 3, Josh and I went back in the tank. And Kevin and I did a deal contingent upon me doing a deal with Fender Guitar. But the deal was so complicated that the producers were like, no, guys, we can't edit this for TV. It's just too complicated. So season 3 never aired. So we came back for season 4, and they said, last season, Kevin and Jeff did a deal with Fender Guitar, and here they are now at Fender. So we were at... They're doing negotiation with them. And then season 5, I came back, and that was the 5th anniversary of Shark Tank, and it was I guess it was the top entrepreneurs from the first 5 years, and I was considered to be the most arrogant of anybody that went on the show. So I was proud of that.
That's good. He's been really mellow here. I don't see that, but business is business.
Yeah.
Kept
coming back.
So what did you have to do with Fender? What was the deal?
So the deal with Fender was we would build 150 acoustic guitars for them, and since we and they built our guitars in the same factory, it made a really easy for us to do. We just took Voyager parts and Fender parts and put them on the same line.
But you were making collapsible one Fenders?
Yes, we made 150 folding Fenders. In fact, I'll tell you one thing, because I know we're almost out of time, but I had done a deal with the general counsel of Fender. He and I had a private agreement that let's not tell anybody, but let's give the factory authorization to take parts of the Fender line and parts of the Voyager line and actually make a folding Fender, like a legitimate folding Fender guitar. And then I would take a meeting at NAMM with the top Fender brass. All the top guys were in a suite, and I'm showing them these Voyager guitars, and they're like, yeah, we've seen everything. We're Fender. We don't need you. And then I said, well, hang on, guys. I got one more thing to show you. And I unzip this backpack. And I open up, and it's an actual folding Fender guitar from their factory. Well, they went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So
you only made 150 of them?
We made 150 of them. And then,
where are they now?
Well, they're out in the world. I have a few of them left that are kind of...
Because that's got to be a collectible.
Yeah, I got a few of them left. And at that point in time, Fender was trying to go public. They did a failed IPO. They're taken over by a private equity firm. They had replaced their CEO, and all the momentum of the deal just dried up. So we may go back to them at some point.
Well, the next time that you guys come, you got to bring one of the Fenders down besides the electric. I want to see it.
We'll bring a folding Fender.
A folding Fender. So there is a collectible for you guys out there. Anyway, Jeff, I want to thank you again. And I want to thank, he's already on a plane now, Barney and Jamie and John, your sons.
Josh. Yeah.
Josh.
Yeah.
I can't read my... Anyway, but Jamie and Josh for really helping me get all the information and stuff. Check out voyageairguitar.com, and that's where you can order them. And for Tony, you can find out what he's doing, www.tonypguitar.com. And what's coming up with you gig-wise? Anything that you want to mention?
I'm working on my albums, my music right now. I got some fly dates. I got some things going on.
When's the album going to be done?
I just recorded a new slew of songs, so I'm getting those ready. You'll know.
Fall?
You'll know. Might be.
Fall.
Might
okay, because be. You know
see,
you got to come back.
We got coming out.
Yeah, we got to get you back on the show on that the but yes, thank you so much for coming on, and we definitely will have you back. We got to do part 2. The Shark Tank Fender story.
I've seen Jeff and Barney grow this over the years, and they are great people and they have a great product. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, I mean that's what you told me when you were on the show. You got to check out these guys. They're great. And everybody too. Remember, if you mention in the when you check out at their site V60, there's a discount, so you can get a discount on the guitars. Do you want to take us out? Do you want to put? You got a couple of minutes.
Sure.
Give me a couple of minutes. And again, Jeff, thank you so much.
It's really a
pleasure.
Wonderful. Thanks for
everybody. We're going to listen to Tony. Have a great week, and we will see you next week.